Some of it about bringing each other gold, all glory is the sum of the votes, all glory is the sum of the votes, all glory is the sum of the votes, all glory is to Shiguru and Gauranga, Shiva Prabhupada, Kijai, Gopriyananda. So, Om Magana, Timurandasha, Garanjana, Shilakaya, Chakshur, Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shigurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who has kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're very happy to be here. So let's say this afternoon's, what's that?
May I ask if anyone needs translation?
Finnish
language. Oh, Swami.
Sorry about that. I can speak Spanish.
Okay, I'll translate.
Okay, you'll translate back there for whoever needs it. Alrighty. Alright, we'll wait. So, you ready? Okay, so I thought a good topic for today would be how Krishna consciousness creates good fortune. How about that one? Creates happiness and good fortune. Of course, that's one of the topics in the Nectar of Devotion, which is written by Srila Rupa Goswami.
Need it louder? I can be louder.
So it's one of the topics in the Nectar of Devotion that's written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, first I'm going to describe how you can get bad fortune. How about that? We'll tell you good fortune, bad fortune. So, if you want to get bad fortune, you need bad karma. So what is karma? Karma is an interesting term. It basically means work. But it also can mean the reaction for a particular type of work. In other words, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So if you do good, you get good, and if you do bad, you get bad. But I got news for you. You can't decide what's good and what's bad. Just look at that. Just like nowadays, there is something called political correctness. Have you heard about this before?
Yes.
No, I bet I won't be specific because I don't want to get thrown out of the temple room today. But there's political correctness, and generally every 10 years it changes, like what's good, what's bad, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And so that's not really what we're talking about, good and bad karma, good or bad results from particular actions. Actually, I hate to inform you all that one person has decided what's good and bad. And that person, his name is Krishna. So there's this statement in the Vedic literatures. I'll give you a little Sanskrit. Dharmam dusakshat bhagavat pranitam. That the person who decides dharma, dharma means like basically your duties, your position, it can mean different things, but what's right and what's wrong is Bhagavan. I'm deliberately not using the word God because that's, people are allergic to the word God, right? You say God. How do you say God in Finnish?
Jumala.
Jumala, oh, sorry. I mean, Bhagawan. Bhagawan means the opulent person, the guy in charge, and there's also a girl in charge. That's politically correct, right? Her name is Radharani. So we are very politically correct. There's a girl in charge and a boy in charge. And he's a boy. He's never more than 16. Pretty good. And she never gets more than 16. So there's a girl and a boy in charge. How's that sound? So, and they decide what's good and bad. Not you, not the government, no one else but them. And so if one wants to present what's good and bad, one will present what they tell us. So let's say you do something that's bad. I'll give you an example that's not politically incorrect. Let's say you like to eat meat. Is that politically incorrect? A little bit. So Krishna has decided, along with Radharani and Lakshmi, that it's bad to eat meat, and you get a bad reaction. The reaction you get from eating meat is depending on which animal you're eating. So if you have to eat meat, please don't eat a cow. Because the reaction you get for eating a cow is one birth for every hair on the cow's body. That's a lot. And the reaction you get for eating a chicken is not so bad. You get to be a chicken. Just like on the way here, I saw an advertisement for a chicken company in Finland. They even call them wings. That means you get these. Usually in the beginning of the Sunday feast, I tell everybody, please turn off your mobile phones. And if your mobile phone does ring, you've committed to giving 100 euros to the temple. So everybody says, oh, I'll turn it off. So usually that's my standard. So anyway, so that's bad. That, you know, that's bad karma. A bad reaction to karma, because most of us don't want to be a chicken in this life. It's not a good life. Or a dog, or any of these other animals. Of course, here you don't eat dogs. If I was in Korea, I'd be talking about eating dogs. But here we're talking about chickens. So that's one of the bad things. And there's a number of things that you really shouldn't do, and you get a reaction for those things. Now, why do people do these things? Sometimes, like we have some people here from India, right? When I last checked. So even in India they do these things. Chicken is very popular in India, isn't it? Fish, chicken. You get a chance to swim in your next life, you have a fish. So why do people do these things even though they know better? And that's because they have a desire. Of course, we call that lust or greed or whatever. But let's be a little technical here. That's called a desire that comes from a seed. And the seed in Sanskrit is called the bija. So we have a seed of desire for things that are really not good for us. Like, why do people drink alcohol? Because no one here in Finland drinks alcohol, do they? No, it's not. This is a country where nobody drinks. Okay, sorry. So why do people drink alcohol, become alcohol? Because they have this desire. And they're addicted to a number of things. So we actually have all these different desires. They're called bijas, or seeds of desires. And these seeds fructify and force us, basically, against our will in certain cases, to do certain things that we know are counterproductive or not so good for our welfare. And then what happens is we do those things, we get a reaction, and that reaction, part of the reaction is you get more desires too. It's like a cycle, an endless cycle, like number 8 on its side, which indicates infinity. And this goes on from one lifetime to another lifetime. So how do you stop this chain? Desire, being forced to act. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asked the question by Arjuna, like, what is one forced to act? And wow. What a surprise. He was just with me in the United States. So come to bring him back. So anyway, so one is forced to act. as if by force, you're just like forced to do something, and then Krishna says it's lust only, it comes in contact with mature modes of passion, later turns to wrath. So, how do we break this chain? Well, how do you get rid of a seed? Does anyone know? No one knows. How do you fry it. Because the seed can remain there for a long time and just add a little water. Like in the Egyptian tombs, they used to dig up these tombs after thousands of years, and they would find these little garbanzo beans, chickpeas, and they would add water and they'd fructify after many years. And these seeds of desire may not manifest even in a human being for many, many years. I'll give you an example. Let's say someone has a little baby, forgive me for this. Someone has a little baby. All the babies appear very cute when they're young. Practically all of them. Even monkeys appear cute. You know, every little baby's cute. So, and innocent and pure. But I'm sure that people like Mussolini, Hitler, they were once babies, right? Am I right? They didn't appear full grown. So in other words, the desires that they had were basically lying as seed until they were able to manifest those particular desires. That's called someone's nature. Of course, there's another factor called nurture, what happens after someone is born. But if we want to deal with these seeds, and definitely all of us in this world, at least those of us who were born in the Western world, not those of you from India, you're also pure. So those of us born in the Western world, we have all these different seeds lying there. So the process of frying the seeds is called Krishna consciousness. When one chants the holy names, and of course, I think you're all familiar with what Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then the seeds become fried, and your karma becomes eradicated. There's different types of karma. There's, of course, the seed is part of the karmic chain, but then after that, you've got the uparabdha karma. That means the karma you haven't gotten a reaction to yet. Just now waiting. It's going to happen any minute or any lifetime. And then there's the parabdha karma, that's what you're suffering for from now. For example, if you have a lot of debt, you owe a lot of money, you have some disease, this may be an indication of parabdha karma. But when one chants the holy name of Krishna, one eliminates all those different types of karma. Not only that, Prabhupada described that all the lines on your hand, you know, the fate lines and everything like that, they change when you chant and dance and become Krishna conscious. Pretty amazing. And all the stars, Jai, Shishi Gornatai Ki Jai, all the stars in your horoscope, I'm saying that deliberately, horoscope, you understand? Not horoscope, horoscope. all the stars in your horoscope become auspicious. Everything becomes auspicious by taking up this process of Krishna consciousness. So anyone in any position with any sort of desire could transform their lives and not only make it auspicious, get rid of all the reactions, but be happy. And I'm going to tell some stories. This is a preliminary to telling some stories to illustrate this. I'm not going to tell my life story. I'll tell stories from Shastra. Here's the story. Once upon a time, there was a great devotee. His name was Haridas Thakur. And he was chanting the holy names. And there was one person who wanted to make him deviate from Krishna consciousness. So this person, it doesn't matter what his name was, Ramchandra Khan. But anyway, he sent a lady to make him deviate from his vow of austerity. And this lady was, anyway, a prostitute. So he sent her there, and she basically had a lot of bad karma. Talking about karma. And Haridas Thakur, this great devotee, he was chanting the Lord's holy names. And the prostitute came to try to allure him. And he gave her an excuse why he couldn't enjoy with her. He said, I have to finish my rounds. Good excuse. And so rounds means, for those of you who don't know what rounds means, I have my D-bag holding my phone, so I can't show you. But every devotee here has a bag. It's not filled with money. Sometimes people think, maybe it doesn't have money. It's called a D-bag. Just to be sure. One time I was walking on the beach in Fiji, and someone said, give me the money that's in there. And I said, that's all I got. And he took my beads. Anyway, so we have these beads in the bead bag. So Haridas Thakur said, you know, the devotees here have to finish, they don't have to, but they made a promise, they'd like to. They enjoy chanting a certain number of mantras on these beads every day. There's 108 beads, and they chant one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for each bead. Some of them chant 16 rounds, some of them chant 64 rounds. No. So they chanted a different number of rounds every day. So Haridas Thakur, he was chanting, oh, I hate to tell you, was 3 times 64. 192 rounds a day. And so, that's a pretty good excuse when someone wants you to do something bad. If you're chanting 192 rounds, you won't have time to do anything bad. Probably won't have time to do too many good things either, if you're chanting 192 rounds. So, he was chanting 192 rounds, and he gave this prostitute an excuse. Okay, he said, come back the next day, I'll finish my rounds. No problem. Comes back the next day. Next day, she's waiting for him to finish his rounds. And she's sort of hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And she begins to imitate a little bit. And he says, okay, I apologize, I wasn't able to fulfill your desires. Come back the next day. So next day, she comes back, and she realizes, after chanting, the seed of desire becomes fried. We're talking about the seed of desire before. And she realizes, wow, I got bad karma. We'll tell another story about bad karma. And then she says to Haridas Thakur, I came here to trick you. Please forgive me. Please become my spiritual master. So here's a transformation in the space of 3 days. And he says, okay, I stayed around just to purify you. And so she takes initiation. I don't remember what her name was. Do you know what her name was? Anyway, she sits by this special tree called the Tulsi tree. It's a special sacred tree we have. And she chants, she becomes a pure devotee. And everyone begins to worship her. She becomes so pure. Her life becomes so fortunate. She becomes so happy. Wow, what a transformation. Just by the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Here's another story. I got so many stories about this. And some of you know these stories. Once upon a time, there was a guy who liked hunting. But he not only liked the hunt, but he liked to half-kill animals. He liked to see them suffer. Now, have you ever seen videos of a slaughterhouse? Like there's this one organization called PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They put videos. I'm not suggesting you watch them. You'll see how the animals suffer. So this guy, he liked to see animals suffer. That's how bad his karma was. Not only was he killing them, he was taking joy in seeing them suffer. And so this great devotee, because it needs a great devotee to start your devotional service. Because the statement is that we are wandering everywhere in all these material universes, Brahmanda, Brahmate, Kanna, Bhagavan, Jiva, Guru, Krishna, Prasadi, Lord, Bhakti, Lata, Peace. That We're wandering everywhere. Our life is very unfortunate, and then by the mercy of Krishna, we come across a devotee, a Krishna conscious person, a guru, and we talked about bij before, a seed, but we get the seed of devotion. That happened to me when I turned to my radio one day. And I heard Prabhupada. This was before any of you were born, 1968. And I heard Prabhupada, I got the seed of devotion, and my life changed. Just by that little association. Immediately the hair came off. Took a little while. So, getting back to the story. So this hunter's name was Mabrari. So this devotee's name was Narada Muni. He comes along, and he says to Mabrari, after seeing the half-killed animals, and he actually sets them free. He says, why are you doing this? And Mabrari says, this is our family business. I learned it from my father. And Narada Muni says, why did you just kill them completely? And the hunter says, well, this is, makes me happy. And Narada Muni explains, the sage explains, it's less karma to kill them completely. And then Narada Muni does something that would be very interesting for you. He pulls out his virtual reality glasses and he gives this hunter a taste of what's coming. Not really glasses. He uses mystic power to show him a simulation. You know what a simulation is? Some of you know about science. You know, simulation. Actually, there's this whole simulation theory that we're all living in a simulation, but that's a different subject matter. We're all living in a simulation. And we got to get out of the matrix. Anyway, so he gives them this simulation of what's in store for him if he keeps killing the animals. And that means he sees the animals coming after him to torture him and eat him, and he says to Narada Muni, uh-oh, what can I do? And Narada Muni says, of course, here's some Japa beads. This is the solution. Here's the solution to all your problems. Right here. Doesn't cost much money. But a few euros, and you're ready to go. So he gives him his japa beads, and he says, chant the holy names, and this hunter says, how will I support myself? And Narada Muni says, don't worry, I'll send plenty of food for you. So then, he takes Narada Muni's instructions, sits with his wife by the banks of the sacred river, chants, also there's a tulsi plant there. And Narada Muni comes back a little while later with one of his buddies, Parvata, and this particular hunter, Mabrari, he's not a hunter now, he runs to see his guru. And as he's running, he is very careful. He's hopping and skipping and jumping because there's ants on the ground. Just to avoid even hurting an ant. And Narada Muni and his friend are amazed. He's become such a great saint. And Narada Muni says, you're getting enough to eat? And the saint says, or this previous hunter, who's now become a saint, he says, there's too much to eat. Because Narada Muni created his good fortune. A pure devotee and the holy names in this japa bag can create your good fortune. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You don't have to work and get enough to eat. Don't try it. But we come to the temple and eat all the time for free. Right? Is that right? Give a donation. But you come to the temple and eat for free. So anyway, so that's another story. Here's a story, a really interesting story about an animal who got good fortune just by serving the deities. I think several stories about that. There was a bird one time that was being chased by a dog. And the dog was, you know, bird wasn't flying too well. Usually birds can fly higher. And the dog chased him around the temple. This is actually a story from a book called the Bhakti Sandarbha. The dog chased him around the temple, and because he circumambulated the temple, which is considered very good, nice devotion, then he went back to the spiritual world. All these interesting stories. Another story, and this is a more lengthy story. Once upon a time, there was this dacoit. Of course, for you, those of you who don't speak Hindi, that means bad guy. He would attack people, kill people. His name was Chand Roy. And he, one day, in his evil activities, he got possessed by a ghost. Because that's what happens when you have really bad karma. You could be possessed by a ghost. And so he was foaming at the mouth, rolling on the ground. And his father, who was actually a devotee, said, "What can we do?" And the answer was, "You should actually take or bring this great devotee, Narottama Das Thakur, who's a great devotee, to see this person." And so they tried to get him to come. This devotee was sort of reluctant because it's kind of dangerous to approach guys like that. But then Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, who appeared in this age, appeared before Narottama and told him, "You have to initiate this dacoit." So he went to where this dacoit was and gave dacoit, you know, bad guy, criminal, gunda, you know, whatever word you have in Finnish. He gave him initiation. And this person became such a great saint, I'll tell you what happened, that when he was put into jail later, because he had become a saint, nobody was afraid of him anymore, so the king put him in jail, that he refused to get out of jail when there was a mystic yogi, we call a Durga worshipper, who came and tried to get him out of jail. He said, "I will only accept the lotus feet of my spiritual master." And he became so powerful because of his devotion that when his king, who would put him in jail, attempted to kill him by having him attacked by an elephant, he got the power to pull the elephant's trunk off. The trunk is the nose. So much good fortune just by taking up Krishna consciousness. Even if you come for the wrong reason. And here's a story. This is the final story. Maybe. Of someone who came for the wrong reason to take up Krishna consciousness. All right. So Lord Chaitanya, who I mentioned is Krishna himself, had as his eternal associate a person named Nityananda. We call him Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda is the same as a person named Balaram. Some of you may not know who Balaram is, but you know, Balaram, Krishna, they appeared over 5,000 years ago in a previous age. This age is called the age of Kali, where everything goes bad. That means in Sanskrit, people aren't fortunate, people are short-lived. It's a problem. And so what happened is that Krishna wanted to appear in this age to save everybody. And in the previous ages, Krishna, in order to save people, well, he had to do things like the Mahabharata war. It's not really appropriate in this age. In this age, to save people, we want to get into their hearts and fry the desire seed, the bad desire seed, and give them the good seed of bhakti, of love, of devotion. So, anyway, so Krishna and Balaram appeared over 5,000, and Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya appeared over 500 years ago. So Lord Nityananda, who was a great preacher, or speaker of Krishna consciousness, had the habit of dressing very opulently. Now, when I talk about opulently, he would wear jewelry all over. Now, that's an invitation for thieves, isn't it? Like if I were to go out in the street here and have a diamond necklace or a gold chain, what would happen? Finland, you don't have that problem. But where I come from, that'll be finished. Not finished, finished. So, anyway, I won't try. So he wore all this jewelry around his body and really opulent clothes. So the thieves, they naturally noticed it. And they thought, we have to steal from him. He has so much jewelry. So, all right, so they were planning out, they had this whole gang of thieves. They were planning out how to steal from Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda was in someone's house every night having a Krishna conscious good time. Good time means dancing and chanting and the holy name of the Lord. Taking prasadam, which you're all going to be doing soon when I finish, which you hope will be soon. So, chanting and dancing. So they thought, wow, it's going to be great when we have all those jewels. We'll be very rich. We'll be able to get whatever we want. And they were planning that out. And while they were planning it out, actually they fell asleep. So the first night they were unsuccessful. So the second night they thought, you know, we have to worship. They had a way of worshiping Durga. You know, they were in India, they worship demigods. Anyone's heard of that before? That means not God, but people who are very powerful or living entities who are very powerful control certain aspects of the creation. So they thought, now we have to worship more and we'll be successful the next night. So the next night they came out and they discovered around the house where Lord Nityananda was having his Krishna conscious party, there were these giant guards, like 5 meters high. You know, giants. You know, as big as Kumbhakarna, you know. Those of you from India know who I'm talking about. You know, really giant, and they were all chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So they go like, well, tonight's not the night. So, all right. So then they waited 10 days and they said, you know, we got to do it right this time. So after 10 days, they came and they basically tried again. But this time, it actually was started to pour down hail. And basically, it's described in the literature as like pus and blood. And they became blinded and the worms, they fell in ditches and worms were eating their bodies. And so they thought, maybe we're doing something wrong. And they thought, maybe we need to reform ourselves. So then the next day they approached, they got their sight back, because they started praying to Lord Nityananda. They approached Lord Nityananda, and they became great devotees. And eventually went back to home, back to God, back to the spiritual world. So, anyway, so as far as how this applies to us, of course, we're probably not as bad, hopefully, as these people I've been describing. As far as it applies to us, if we take up Krishna consciousness, whatever desires, whatever karma we have, whatever our horoscope is, or horoscope is, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Because everything becomes fortunate. However, there is one factor, there's something called the token reaction. Some of you may have heard about this before. A token reaction means that you're under the jurisdiction of Krishna. The first time you say to Krishna, from this day forward, I'm yours, and you chant his holy name, even accidentally, that's called namabhas, even accidentally, or meaning something else, you don't even have to chant on these beads. You just come to the Hare Krishna temple once. Wow. Then, from that point on, there's no more karma. I'll tell you one story that illustrates that. One time, there was someone who was really bad. We're talking about bad people. I don't know why. But anyway, reform. So anyway, he was really bad. His name was Ajami. Some of you may know this story. And he had so much bad karma that when it came for him to die, there's some nice people who came for him. It's interesting that, I don't want to scare any of you. Yes, I do. But if you don't have bad karma, the people who come for you when you die are these, they're called Yamadutas. Well, let me explain what a Yamaduta is. I don't know, it's hard to, I know how to explain. One devotee who I've known for many, many years, she would go out and distribute Prabhupada's books to people. Very nice devotee. And one time she encountered some morticians. Morticians are people who prepare the body, you know, after you die, give you a smile so it looks like you've been happy. You go to a funeral and the person looks like they're getting ready to jump out of the coffin and chant with you. But that's a mortician. It comes from the word mortis. It's a French or a Latin word which means death. Or in Spanish, muerte. Anyone here speaks Spanish, muerte, means death. So she asked these mortician people, when people die, what do they look like? Do they look shocked or they just look peaceful? And they answered, well, the last few years they're very peaceful because they're dying of being sedated. You know, people in the hospital, they usually give people morphine and other things like that. So they look peaceful. And then she asked them, but what about 30 years ago before they gave people drugs before they died? Do they ever look like... And the morticians turned white. Like the color... Any white devotees here? Yeah. The color... I'm a little dark. But anyway, imagine like if I turned the color of the dhoti there. So they turned the color of the dhoti. They said, yes, you're right. So that gives you an idea what a Yamaduta is. It's pretty frightening. It's like the worst movie you've ever seen, you know, Dracula, or but none of you have seen movies like that. No, horror movies. Or The Mummy. Something like that. It's the worst thing you've ever seen. So that's what happens. So this, going to get back to the story. They look frightening. Just take it for granted. They're frightening. And they're coming to take you away. There was even a song in the 1960s. They're coming to take me away, away. They're coming to take me away. You know that song? Good, we got some musicians here. So they're coming to... So they came for this particular individual. There's a happy ending, don't worry. So what happened is, at the same time, while he was dying, he was calling out the name of his son. And his son happened to have a Hare Krishna name. His name was Narayan, which is a Hare Krishna name. So he was calling out his little baby son, Narayan, Narayan. So he didn't mean to call the names of God, the names of Bhagavan. He didn't mean to call the spiritual name. He meant something else, he meant his son. But because he called the right name, then the angels, Vishnudutas, they're like angels, they came and saved him. And he became completely saved just by chanting the names of Krishna accidentally or meaning something else. That's called Namabhas. Wow. No more karma. And then he started to take up devotional service, grabbed his japa bag, went to a holy place, and then he was carried back to the spiritual world to live a new life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And that's all from taking up devotional service. And there are other things you get too, immediate relief from all distress, auspiciousness, happiness, unlimited happiness, ecstasy. And that's what we're offering here. in the Krishna consciousness movement. And all you have to do is take this little bead bag and chant. You don't have to change anything in your life except for, you know, no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. That's my birthday. We try to be positive. We try to keep away from the nose. Like Prabhupada, my spiritual master, one time said, making a play on words, he says, we have many donuts or do-nots. You know, donut. A donut is a thing with a hole in it, you know, that you eat. Anyway, so we have many donuts. In his Indian accent, it's a donut. Isn't that how it sounded in India? We have many donuts. So, anyways, a few simple things, because these are the things that give you bad karma. I mean, why do something that gives you bad karma? And the problem with bad karma is you always get caught. It's not like speeding in your car, you can get away with it. If you speed in your car, at least in America, we have these police detectors that catch the police. You know, we can tell when the police are there, so we can speed and get away with it. And also there's this nice app on the phone called Waze. Some of you may know it. And it tells you where the police are. But there's no app you can get on your phone that tells you where the karma detector is. Because the fortunate or unfortunate thing is the karma detector is in everyone's heart. Krishna is in everyone's heart. And just like we get scared sometimes when we think of all the cameras around, that the government's watching us and they have face detection and everything like that, Krishna's in everyone's heart and he's watching us 24/7. I'd like to think 21. Anyway, it's called a Freudian slip. Anyway, so 24/7, Krishna's watching us. You can't get away with it. Can't get away with anything. But why try? Because you can be happy. And that's Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, that's today's encouraging talk. So any questions or comments? Or arguments? Or problems? Yes?
If I may ask, where are you from? Since you said that jewelry is gone, kind, are you from India by any chance?
I think so. I spent so much time. Actually, my home is at Govardhan. Govardhan. And yeah, I travel all around the world, but actually I consider my home to be at Govardhan, UP. Uttar Pradesh. And we actually have a Krishna-conscious chief minister there, Adityanath, some of you may know. He's actually very Krishna-conscious, you know? Very wonderful person. And devotees visit him all the time. Anyway, our movement, the philosophy we're presenting, the practical, let's say, suggestions in life are coming from the ancient Vedic literatures. I'm not inventing these things. And I personally have experience with Krishna consciousness. My whole life was changed by taking up Krishna consciousness almost 50 years ago. So, any other questions? Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Sometimes people come into the temple and they tell us, like, yeah, it was such a hard time, but now I get relieved, I feel peaceful, I just sit here for 15 minutes and then I leave, and everything is fine. And we don't see them anymore.
Well, that happens sometimes. But you're starting their devotional service. Krishna says in the Gita that in this endeavor, which is talking about Krishna consciousness, there's no loss of diminution. So ultimately, they will come back. I had a similar experience in one of the temples that I'm working at. We have some construction workers because we're building a new temple. And they're coming to the temple not to chant Hare Krishna, but just to construction. And I was speaking to them the other day, and they said to me, wow, the atmosphere here is so wonderful. What do you do? Are you burning marijuana or something like that? You know, they thought, you know, something's in the air. I said, no, we don't do that. And I explained, it's a spiritual atmosphere. The temple is what Prabhupada said, Vaikuntha. All right, let's put it in a different nomenclature, something that's maybe more familiar to all of you. It's a portal. Everyone's familiar with science fiction here? A portal is something that you can go through and end up some billions of miles away, billions of kilometers away, at the other end of the universe. So we have a portal here where you can enter and go to the spiritual world. And so people experience that. Now, of course, you still have your material bodies while you're here. But at least on a subtle platform, on a spiritual platform, your soul is experiencing something different than it's ever experienced before by coming here. And you recognize that. But then still you may be addicted to certain things, and then you come back eventually. Yes. Thank you for the question. Any other questions before Prasad? No. Everyone's so quiet. Yes.
Is it worth reading something beyond the horoscope?
Is it useful to read a horoscope? Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think it's so seriously. I had a horoscope and I was supposed to die when I was 55 years old. So I was just counting down the days. I told the devotees, surround me, chant Hare Krishna, I got 2 days to go, 10 minutes. I was disappointed. Or I was happy anyway. It didn't happen. Another time, a very good astrologer told me, he said, this is going to be the, not this year, but a particular year, this is going to be the worst year of your life. I said, oh my God, maybe I just lock myself up in a closet for a year and chant Hare Krishna. It was actually the best year I've ever had. So, your Prabhupada said, by the Krishna consciousness, your good fortune is created. So even something that it may appear to be, let us say, unfortunate becomes fortunate. I'll give you one story from the Vedic literatures, which is really interesting. It's one of my favorite stories. Because I'm a devotee of Hanuman. Anyone heard of Hanuman before? Somebody may have heard. He's Kim Purusha, not quite a monkey, but he's, you know, really strong. He serves a different appearance and incarnation of Krishna named Lord Ramchandra. So one time, Hanuman was told by Saturn. Saturn, when everyone's supposed to go through it astrologically, a Saturn period. Anyone's heard about this before? Some of you from India know what I'm talking about. It's the Saturn period. You go, oh, it's my Saturn period. Everything's going wrong. I can't chant. I can't do anything. It's my Saturn period. Anyway, so he was approached by Saturn. This is such a wonderful story. And Saturn said, it's time for your Saturn period. And Hanuman said, okay. You can sit on my head and influence me from this particular direction. So then, Hanuman took some big rocks and put it on top of Saturn. And Saturn got crushed. This is very interesting. You heard this story before? No. Even for you, it's a new story. So Saturn got crushed. And he said, help, save me. And Hanuman said, yeah, if you leave me. So the benediction is that if one worships Krishna, especially Hanuman, then Saturn will only affect one for 2 minutes. So you've heard that before, haven't you? And that's the background story behind why Saturn only affects you for 2 minutes. So if one chants the holy name, then what may be in the horoscope an inauspicious sign or conjugation or a house or whatever, then that actually becomes something that becomes auspicious.
like Saturn can be very auspicious. It can help you connect more with the spiritual realm. Or he can help you connect more with the spiritual realm. So you don't have anything to worry about. I don't worry about horoscopes. I worry about Krishna. What does Krishna want me to do? I mean, I get more worried about him. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
So, everybody knows that there is many bad things in this world.
Yes.
Many incorrect things. So, do we have to try and change this world?
Yes. Yes, we have to try. But the way we change this world is by changing people's hearts. The bad things that are happening in the world are because people in their hearts have these impurities. When we talk about the seeds of desire or lust or anger. And if we can help people realize who they are, eternal, blissful, spiritual beings, then the world can change and become very wonderful. So yes, we should try to help people in this world too. We're not simply advocating that we sit in a solitary place and chant, but we can help people by giving them this knowledge. And in one way we can help people, I mean, just one of the byproducts of this, is you realize the true equality of all people. And of course, today in this world, there's so much problems, maybe not here in Finland, but with other countries and areas with racism, sectarianism, nationalism, all these isms that are separating people, or, you know, religious bias. But one who comes to Krishna conscious, and I'll give you a verse in the Sanskrit, Yastu sarvani bhutane atmane vanupashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatalo nivigigupshate. One doesn't hate anyone or anything and loves all living entities. Somewhat similar to the philosophy of St. Francis of Assisi, who was able to see all entities, all animals and human beings, as his brothers and sisters. And we consider that to be first-class God consciousness. So if the world or the people in the world can absorb that particular type of consciousness, then the world can become a very wonderful place. Thank you for the question. So I think it's time for prasadam, right?
No, Maharaj.
But it's not time.
We have some singing before.
We have some singing. Okay.
You want to sing?
No, you should sing. You have a guitar? You can sing with a guitar. No, that's all right. You're too conservative here. Right? I'm too liberal. What? What's that? How much singing do you do?
5 minutes.
But what do you sing?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, I don't know that song. So, you want me to sing with the Cartels or what? No, Cartels are good. You can play that.
Sure.